Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Continuing from our readings from Brihadbhagavatamrita. And today's verse. Yes, last time we spoke about. Excuse me, to turn this off. Last time we spoke about superiority of Vaikuntha to Brahman realization, and we gave a little explanation of why Gopakumara anticipated that the mature Brahmin may wonder that if he can only realize for himself the glories of Vaikuntha by his own experience, he was anticipating that the mature Brahmin may be thinking that what further evidence could Gopakumar provide to him about Vaikuntha. And how it is that the experiences of Vaikuntha are aspired for, even by those who are experiencing, as the verse said, who are self-satisfied, fulfilled in all desires, free from all material concerns, renounce everything, both knowledge and possessions, and because they associated with Vaishnavas, such persons. Of course, were those who are fully detached from material realm, but Gopakumar explains that Vaikuntha provides this opportunity, the superior experience, and then we took advantage of that discussion to give the evidence of Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami, how he was fully self-satisfied, fully realized, in the sense that he knew he was not that body, and therefore he did not want to take birth because he was afraid that he would become under the influence of Maya, and the whole story we told. That was the last verse, which was verse 54. So today is 55, and I believe we'll be reading several verses today because I think it will become self-evident when I read them. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brihadbhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 55. Agacchatoham tam pasyan idam achintayam idrisha Saprabhur Namakidrisha. Translation. As I watched those persons come and go, I thought, what kind of Lord must it be who has such servants? Commentary. After seeing such beautiful and opulent servants of Lord Narayan come and go through the gateway of Vaikuntha, Gopakumara could not help but imagine how beautiful and opulent must be Lord Narayan himself. Certainly, a proper master should be superior in all respects to his servants. Chaksho unmeni tam Yat pipa tamaham vande shri gurun dhinataranam. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna pristaya bhutale. Shrimate bhaktivedanta swamin iti namane. Namaste sarasate devi gauravani pracharane nirvishesha shunyavari vastachade satarane. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Just brief explanation on this verse. Gopakumara is describing that the cumulative effect of his having observed all the previous residents of Vaikuntha returning and watching them enter into Vaikuntha while he stood by the gate, and seeing how progressively, consecutively, each resident manifested that seemed to him to be even greater opulences than the previous, and more, even more startling, not only opulences but beauty. And therefore, his conclusion is that, well, if they are so great and manifest such beauty and opulence, imagine the personality they are serving. And that's a very rational conclusion for him to draw. And of course, there's substantial evidence for that, that the master is certainly anticipated to have all the same qualities that those who serve him develop. Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavachikin kachanasa vaigunai stacha samasate sura. All the good qualities of the demigods will automatically manifest in one who's serving the Supreme Lord. They'll manifest all such good qualities. And this is, of course, one verse Prabhupada oftentimes quoted, but it's very logical for Gopakumara to conclude that because they are manifesting such wonderful opulences and display of opulences and beauty, and they're all proclaiming themselves to be servants of the Supreme Lord, Narayan, therefore, they must have all of these qualities, characteristics as a result of their service to him. He must be greater than the sum total of all the parts. That is Gopakumara's way of thinking, and therefore that is his, what is being described here in this verse. Of course, as we've many times described before, that the residents of Vaikuntha are empowered in such a way that they have the same opulences as the Lord. They can do so many wonderful things that the Lord himself can do. That is their potency, which is bestowed upon them for being liberated souls in Vaikuntha. But still, there are some unique features which will be described in the verses to come, unique features that he will be instructed about by the residents that his escorts into Vaikuntha. They will instruct him, what are the unique features you should look for when you know you've come to Lord Narayan. So there are some unique features, and they'll be described in verses to come, which we will read today. So now, text 56 and 57. Itam harsha prakarshenot tishtan upavishan prisham kopare vartamanoham tarjave naitya parshadai anta privashyamano yad jishtavan adbutadbutam vaktum tadviparadhena sahasrayo binakshama. Translation. Thus, I thrilled with delight as I waited in the gateway to Vaikuntha. I excitedly stood up and sat down, stood up and sat down, till the associates of the Lord returned, rushing back and escorted me inside. The amazing things I then saw, more wonderful than wonderful. Even the thousand-headed Anantashesha would be unable to describe, even in a lifetime of Brahma. Commentary. The escorts who had gone inside the city to announce Gopakumara's arrival now came running back because their lord did not want him to have to wait outside any longer. As soon as Gopakumara entered the actual realm of Vaikuntha, he saw more wonders than he could ever describe to a conditioned soul. His student would have to be satisfied with a brief outline of this experience. I guess everything we've spoken about for the last 2 weeks has been the brief outline. And they were all those verses describing Gopakumara's observation. Now it's time for him to enter Vaikuntha and to see. Now he will not only see the associates themselves, he'll see the display of all the opulences of Vaikuntha, the palaces, the residence, the jewels, the everything else we've already talked about, the trees, the birds, the rivers, the lakes, wish-fulfilling trees, and then he's going to see the actual opulences of that palace in which the Supreme Lord Narayan resides, his throne, the rooms in his palace, and his servants. Progressively, it's going to become so amazing, as Sanatana Goswami says here, more wonders than he could ever describe to a conditioned soul. Okay. Next text. Dware dware dwara palas tadrisha eva mamgatam prabesha yanti vigyapya vigyapyeva nijadipam. I arrived at several more gates, one after another, and at each I was met by similar doorkeepers who allowed me to enter only after announcing my arrival to their immediate superiors. There's no commentary, but this verse gives us a sense of the protocol that exists in Vaikuntha, that there are superiors, there are, as we spoke of before, there are gatekeepers, and there are qualifications to pass through each one of those gates. We spoke about before how the four Kumaras passed through six gates, and their encounters with Jai and Vijay were at the seventh gate. So therefore, there is a series of gates that one has to go through, and there is a certain protocol that one has to be allowed in by the person who's in charge of that gate, who is considered the superior of to the escorts. The escorts offer their reverential respects to the gatekeepers' superiors, and because there's no commentary, we won't go on any further. We'll go to the next verse. Next two verses. Prati dvarantare gatva, gatva tat prati bharibi, pranam yamano yo yo hi tat pradesha, tat pradesha dikaravan, drishyate sasa, manyeta jagadisho mayakila, purvavat sambrahmaveshan, namyate stuyate muhu. As I entered each gate, I saw the guards offered obeisances to the local superintendent. So I assumed that he was the Lord of the universe. Overwhelmed with reverence, just as before, I repeatedly bowed down and recited prayers. Commentary. Gopakumar was so eager to see the Lord that he mistook the Lord's glorious devotees for the Lord himself. As Gopakumar passed through each gateway with his escorts, they were met by the local manager, whose relatively greater opulence astonished him. No comment. Managers. Something about managers, I think. Some, we tend to have they tend to develop a certain negative connotation, simply the word itself, managers. Managers seem to be the people who restrict our spontaneity. But nonetheless, there are managers in Vaikuntha, and spontaneity is restricted in Vaikuntha because of the awe and reverence feature of Vaikuntha. And therefore, everybody follows the proper protocol, as we said, in Vaikuntha, voluntarily, and never in any way, as we described elaborately before, is there any imposition of rules by those who have the managerial position, which is born of envy, born of competition, or which is born of any other desire than affection and friendship, because that's what pervades in Vaikuntha, is affection and friendship. And therefore, because of that proper attitude of everyone who resides in Vaikuntha, managers are given the greatest respect, and they don't overstep and exploit their positions in any way, shape, or form. And therefore, they always receive the proper respect due to them, so much so that, as Gopakumara is displaying, he's even thinking they are worthy of the same respect as the Supreme Lord Narayan. They must be the Supreme Lord Narayan. They seem to have the opulences, but they're not the Supreme Lord Narayan, but they're, because they're so fixed and devoted in service to him, they have all good qualities. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavacha kinchana. Therefore, when I read the local managers here, we should understand the local management is to be given all respect due to them, because they never display any sense of competition, envy, or suppression of individuality of those who are eager to serve the Lord. And because those who are eager to serve the Lord want to do it the way the Lord wants it, no problem. No problem. They very willfully, they relish the opportunity to be instructed and to be trained by the management. I was even thinking, somehow it had no connection with this verse, no connection whatsoever. But somehow something came up this morning. I can't remember what it was, And I was thinking about something I had to deal with recently. And I was reflecting, and I'm sure my God brothers and God sisters present will share this thought with me, that during Srila Prabhupada's time, there was a certain respect and reverence and that managers had, because at least I grew up in my service in my temple thinking that he's representing Srila Prabhupada. And there was a certain element of trust. Of course, we won't go on to the details of subsequent breaches of that trust. But nonetheless, during those times, many of us felt, as I did, and to this day I testify, and I just spoke to my former temple president, Trey Prabhu. Just yesterday, we had a 40-minute conversation. And to me, he was the best friend, loving, affectionate friend, father, representative of Srila Prabhupada. And the only thing he had to do to keep me motivated was tap me on my back and tell me a story about Prabhupada. And he demonstrated that he cared. And then, you know, that I oftentimes relate the letter that Prabhupada wrote to Trey Prabhu, that for when I was recommended for initiation, that Prabhupada specifically told Trey, please take good care of him. He's speaking about me. And I've always felt indebted to Trey, that the very fact that I'm still here is because he fulfilled Prabhupada's instruction and took good care of me. And anyways, there was a certain respect that did pervade, I believe, a little bit more than we've had the unfortunate opportunities to experience subsequent to Prabhupada's departure. And even during Prabhupada's presence, I'm not going to say everything was perfect. There were abuses, and I know there are devotees who witnessed those abuses, experienced those abuses. I can even say that even in, as early as 1974, 1975, I saw certain abuses, especially when I won't go into all the details, but that's not the purpose of this conversation or discussion. But I just wanted, I thought about it this morning, that during Prabhupada's time, that there was a certain respect for managers, especially to those who we felt took care of us and cared for us and represented Srila Prabhupada. So fortunately, in Vaikuntha, there's never abuse of authority, there's never abuse of a management, and there's never any kind of exploitation. And I'm only just simply reiterating all the points that we brought out in previous classes, and the verses that we refer to, and the evidence that we refer to also from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami about the characteristics of the residents of Vaikuntha and their consciousness and mentality. It's completely conclusive that the reason why such management is respected is because they properly represent Lord Narayana. So as a result, he was becoming eager to see Lord Narayana. That was spontaneous when I saw the word management. I didn't want the residents of Vaikuntha to have any stain in the minds of the devotees by hearing them be called managers. And that, of course, that's in connection also to the previous topic that we spoke about how we should be very careful to not impose an external point of view on Vaikuntha and the residents of Vaikuntha. Gopakumara kept everything covered. Text 61. Atatai parshadai snigdhair ashadharana lakshanam prabhur vigyapito hamcha sikshitas stavanadikam. Finally, the Supreme Lord's compassionate men who were guiding me told me the special signs by which to recognize the Lord. They also taught me what prayers to recite and what etiquette to observe. Commentary. Gopakumara's escorts informed him of the unique visible signs of Lord Narayan, like the Srivatsa mark on his chest. Apart from these few special features, the Lord in Vaikuntha is indistinguishable from his devotees, who show the perfection of Sarupya. Out of genuine sympathy for Gopakumara, his guides taught him how to behave in front of Lord Narayan. First, to bow down, and then stand some distance aside, palms joined, look down at the Lord's lotus feet, refrain from moving or displaying bodily transformations, and so on. So, here's some of the distinct differences that Gopakumara was enlightened, that you'll know you've seen Lord Narayan when you see something that's very distinct in Lord Narayan, that although everybody else looks just like him, he has something very distinct in his features, which will enable you to know you are now seeing Lord Narayan. What are those distinct features? The distinct features is the Srivatsa mark on his chest, although not mentioned here, the Kastuba jewel on his chest. These are distinct features, and there are verses in the Bhagavatam, in the 6th canto, the 3rd canto, the 12th canto, when describing the residents of Vaikuntha and how they have bodily appearances similar to the Lord. These verses specifically emphasize that what distinguishes Vaikunthana, Lord Narayan, is that he has the mark of Srivatsa on his chest. And the mark of Srivatsa on his chest is very nicely described in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. Why that mark of Srivatsa is on the chest of Lord Narayan. The mark of the Srivatsa represents the place where the goddess of fortune resides on the chest of Narayan. And there is also that the, I can't remember where it was. I believe it was in the one of the Sandarbhas. It's described that the Kastuba jewel represents all the living entities who've taken shelter of the Lord. They're actually represented by the Kastuba jewel. So you have both all the living entities who take shelter of the Lord. Therefore, he has the Kastuba jewel on their chest, and the goddess of fortune also resides on the chest of Lord Narayan. And she does not reside on the chest of anyone else except for Lord Narayan. Now, as we said, we're going to read an explanation from Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which explains the reason why the Lord agreed to allow the goddess Lakshmi to reside always on his chest. And I have Laghu Bhagavatamrita here, and I want to take advantage of its presence to read those verses. This is chapter 5. Chapter 5, we read quite elaborately parts of it once before when we were talking about the para avasta avatars of the Lord, the three unique avatars of the Lord, of Lord Narsingadev, Lord Ramachandra, and Lord Krishna, and all of these. The whole Laghu Bhagavatamrita is all aimed, Rupa Goswami aimed to establish one very, very important conclusion from Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and that is that Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam, that of all the avatars, Krishna is the most superior. And all the evidence that he gives in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, as he explains in the beginning of Laghu Bhagavatamrita, that he doesn't spend so much time with logic. He spends much more time and in his thesis simply presenting the scriptural evidence to establish this conclusion. So therefore, he oftentimes quotes from Bhagavatam. He oftentimes quotes from Padma Purana. It's very oftentimes he's quoting verses. And we're going to read some of the verses from Padma Purana that he quotes, which specifically gives the reason why Sri Vatsa is on the chest of Lord Narayana. So I'm going to begin just a few verses. There's one verse, I'm not going to read the whole verse. It's one verse from the 10th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna glorifies Lord Balaram. And Krishna is glorifying Lord Balaram, and one of the specific points that Sanatana Goswami brings out in his Laghu Toshini commentary of this verse is that that Krishna is glorifying Lord Balaram because he doesn't want to glorify himself. But actually, he's speaking about himself. And one of the, while he's speaking to Baladev, he's saying, "This earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet, and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself." And then in the commentary it says, "Out of respect for his elder brother Balaram, Krishna describes him as having Krishna's own unparalleled and unsurpassable qualities." He's speaking about Balaram, but there are also his own qualities as well. I'm not going to read the whole commentary because it's really, it's not directly related. Next verse. The Karika is explaining this verse. "His mind, aroused by the charm of Sri Vrindavan and its residents, Lord Hari wanted to say something in praise of Vrindavan. But seeing that this praise would imply his own supremacy, he spoke in such a way as to shift the glorification to Balaram. Therefore, with these statements, Krishna does not exactly intend to describe the glories of Balaram, Rather, he addresses Balaram humorously out of friendly feelings. Now, this is where the reference begins. Quote, between his arms also means on his chest. Thus, the young women of Raj are most fortunate. Yat Spriha indicates that even Goddess Shri expresses a desire to attain his chest. Next verse. She can only desire this. She does not have the qualification to achieve it. I'm going to read the verses. We'll expand a little bit. Goddess Indira is always situated on the chest of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Therefore, her hankering to attain Krishna's chest underscores the superiority of Krishna's form. Again, as I said, the whole thesis, the whole Laga Bhagavatamrita is all building up to glorify Krishna. The first five chapters is glorification of Krishna as the supreme shelter, the supreme resting place, who manifests all perfect qualities as being the original supreme personality of Godhead. And then in the last chapter, he's going to describe the glories of Krishna's devotees, which is also a very nice description, but again, not directly connected. Then he says, a brief Puranic account describes this. Now he's going to explain why Goddess Indira is always situated on the chest of the Lord of Vaikuntha. This is a quote. From Padma Purana. Seeing Krishna's beauty, Goddess Shri became greedy. When she then undertook austerities, Krishna asked her, what is the reason for your austerities? She said, I want to enjoy with you as a gopi in the land of the cowherds. He answered, but that is too difficult to achieve. She responded, then my master, I want to reside on your chest as a golden lion. He agreed, so be it. Thus she became situated on his chest in that form. So just as we said before, the unique feature that distinguishes Lord Narayan from all the other residents of Vaikuntha is that you will see only on Lord Narayan Vishivatsa, this golden line on his chest, because Goddess of Fortune takes shelter and serving him and takes shelter and residing perpetually on his chest. And not on the chest of anyone else, but on the chest of her worshipful Lord, who she serves. And as we see when Gopakumara enters into the gates of Narayan, enters the gates of Vaikuntha and sees Lord Narayan, she'll be standing right next to him. She'll be fanning him. She'll be rendering all kinds of close service. And as we also explained before, her services appear to be on a higher level than somebody who is a gatekeeper who seems to be on the outside, but in Vaikuntha, all services are equally accepted. But she has, of course, a unique feature that she's always rendering that service, and she's always at the lotus feet, massaging the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. And this point is also brought out elsewhere in one verse that is coming up. Not only is she on the chest, but she also is getting the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. And the evidence for that is when the wives of Kaliya, the Nagapatnis, when they were glorifying the Lord in their prayers, they were saying, how is it that my husband has gotten the opportunity, you know, actually it's coming up. I think I'll just read it. It's coming up. So Goddess Sri performed her austerities in the famous Shivana, also known as Bilvavan. Text 352. Yes, it's the next verse. As the wives of the serpent Kaliya say in the 10th canto, thus the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing austere vows. This is what Nagapatnisa said, 10th canto, 16th chapter, 36th verse. To gain Krishna's association, Goddess Sri abandoned the wonderful tastes, fragrances, and other enjoyable opulences of Vaikuntha and took to severe penances. However, the holy goddess Sri cannot be accused of unfaithfulness to her husband or of breaking her sthayi bhav of monogamous love. As Srila Rupa Goswami explains elsewhere, Siddhantatas Tvabhedepi Shisha Krishna Swarupayo Rasenot Krishyate Krishna Rupam Esha Prasastati. According to transcendental realization, Shisha and Krishna are one and the same. Still, Krishna's form excels that of Shisha due to the special tastes of loving exchange with his devotees. Such are the arrangements of rasa. That's the end of that reference, as we said, which explains. But I wanted to read just one more reference. There's a lot more I could say, actually. I wanted to speak about, well, I'll say it, and then we'll get back to this point. That in Brahmavamohana Lila, when Lord Brahma saw all the different forms of Narayan and how they all manifested before him, then one of the features that he saw in each one of those forms, which is described in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, he saw that in each and every one of those forms that was the manifestation of the Shivatsa and Kastuba gem on each of those forms. So Lord Brahma therefore understood in his total reverence. What did he do in his total reverence when he realized that the Supreme Lord had assumed all of these cowherd boys and all of these calves, and he showed all these forms and he could see that they were none other than the Supreme Lord? What did Lord Brahma do? He did the same thing that Gopakumar did. He fell down, prostrated himself. He stood up, he looked, he fell down, he prostrated himself. He got up and looked, he fell down and prostrated himself. He got up and looked. This is one of the symptoms of being overwhelmed and in a very awestruck, reverential mood, is that one just doesn't know what to do. Should I stand up? Should I bow down? If I stand up, am I being irreverent? If I bow down, am I not? And then, of course, while bowing down, the first tendency is to look at the lotus feet, because the Vaikuntha escorts told Gopakumara, when you enter, the first thing you should do, you should offer wonderful reverential prayers. You should bow down respectfully. You should fold your hands. You should look at the lotus feet. This is exactly what Lord Brahma did. And of course, Lord Brahma in his prayers, and his prayers are all very reverential prayers. They were actually those prayers of Lord Brahma in the, was it the 14th chapter of Srimad, 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma's prayers, that so many, you know, prayers were spoken in complete awe and reverence, because what did Lord Brahma realize? That he realized that he offended the Lord. And because he realized he offended the Lord, understanding his glorious position, which of course is uniquely different from, as we've trying to be to show repetitiously, the distinctions between Goloka and Vaikuntha, is there's no trace of reverence. And although reverence may surface very temporarily, it doesn't predominate at all. In fact, another example of how the reverence doesn't predominate at all is given in the story of when Nanda Maharaj was taken by the servant of Varuna to the abode of Varuna. And then Krishna went to the abode of Varuna to retrieve his father, Nanda Maharaj, because his servant had mistakenly didn't recognize who Nanda Maharaj was. Varuna was very upset. And when Krishna appeared there, Varuna just was all bowing down, all respectful, offering prayers, begging for forgiveness. And Nanda Maharaj is watching all this and thinking, scratching his head, what's all this reverence about? Who's my son anyways? And, he just came, and my son came, and he came to get me, and why is he, and why is his servants, and why is everybody else offering all this respect to my son? And then when Krishna retrieved his father and brought him back, then first thing Nanda Maharaj spoke about to all the cowherd men was, it's something very, very wonderful happened there. All Varuna and all of his associates and servants, they were all very reverential and offering respect. And then when the cowherd men heard that, they were thinking, hey, wait a minute. When we heard from Garga Muni that your son, we understood that he's as good as Narayan, but maybe he is Narayan? And they were temporarily thinking that maybe they were offering all this respect with, maybe he is Narayan? And but even though they thought that way and were speaking that way, their loving relationship with Krishna was not in any way affected by such thoughts. Their loving, affectionate, paternal relationship that they had was not changed at all by, and actually, I think it's Sanatana Goswami brings out in his commentary that what happened to the cowherd men wasn't the same thing that happened to Arjuna, and it wasn't the same thing that happened to Vasudeva and Devaki. When Arjuna saw the universal form and what Vasudeva and Devaki understood Krishna's, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their reverence, pervaded, their mood of reverence pervaded their consciousness. And, Arjuna was all kinds of apologetic, forgive me, I sat on the same bed with you, I ate from the same plate as you. And Vasudeva and Devaki, they were also, but the cowherd men, no. Their loving, affectionate relationship, even though they thought that way momentarily, and only did think that way momentarily. But then what happened? Then what happened? They was thinking, if he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why doesn't he show us the opulences? I mean, they were thinking, we're just ordinarily cowherd men. And they were thinking that because they don't understand. That's one of the symptoms of the residents of Goloka Vrindavan. One of the symptoms of being that there are, what is that word? I always say, Gyanasunya Bhakti. Gyanasukevala Bhakti. Gyanasunya Bhakti, one of the symptoms is that they are completely without knowledge of Krishna's divinity. And one of the symptoms of their Gyanasunya Bhakti is they don't even know how exalted they are. They don't know that they're situated in the topmost Krishna Loka planet. They have the most confidential, loving, intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they don't know their greatness. Although their greatness is extolled throughout all of creation, they're clueless. And they think Krishna's, you know, our son, they have this paternal affection towards him. And Mother Jasoda, she has this maternal affection towards him. Cowherd boys have their fraternal affection with him. And they just don't know how great they are. So they were thinking, hey, why don't we get an opportunity? Why don't you give us a chance? If you're God, why don't you let us see, get a step up? Let us get this step up and see Brahman. We heard about it. Let us see Vaikuntha. And in fact, Krishna was thinking, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary, he was thinking he wanted to satisfy their desires because he's such a loving relationship with them. So he asked them, okay, what do you want? And someone said, well, show us Brahman. And another one said, show us Vaikuntha. And because they were thinking this was a step up for them because that's the nature of their love. So Krishna, what he did is because he wanted to satisfy their desires, he Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, for a moment, he let them see Brahman, really, Brahman. He had let them enter into Brahman. And then from Brahman, he let them enter into Vaikuntha and see the opulences of Vaikuntha. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also brings up a very important point. He says, how is it that one enters into Brahman, and then can go be taken immediately out of Brahman and go to Vaikuntha and go there directly to Goloka? And he makes the point, well, Krishna could do it. Krishna can do anything. And therefore, this is part of his vibhutis, his opulences. Krishna showed them Brahman. He showed them Vaikuntha. Then he brought them back. And then after they saw all that, they completely forgot about it. And they understood that their paternal affection again pervaded in their relationship with Krishna. But the point was, how did all of that, what was the catalyst for all of that? The catalyst of all of that is by hearing when Nanda Maharaj told them, so much reverence was given to my son. So much reverence. And then they came affected. They became affected by hearing about all of this reverence. For a moment, they thought, why so much reverence? Maybe he's God. So that's what happened to the cowherd men, of course. For the cowherd men, they were immediately resumed their natural relationship with Krishna. But for Lord Brahma, he, as we said, he stood up. He got down, looked at the lotus feet, and then he offered so many reverential prayers. Just a few of these reverential prayers. I'll just to read them all is impossible, but just a few of the reverential prayers that Lord Brahma describes. If I could find them. I can't. Why? I can't find them. Atapriti Deva Padambujadvaya Prasadam Sena Grahita Ivihi. Lord Brahma says, and one, unless one gets a drop of mercy from your lotus feet, one will never be able to understand the greatness of your personality. Even if one performs austerities, Nayam Sukapu Bhagavan Dehinam Gopika Sukha, as Lord Brahma also prayers, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be accessible except for those who engage in spontaneous loving devotional service to you. And then even the jnanis, even though they perform their mystic yoga processes, even they perform severe austerities and penances, those who accept the body of the self, they'll never be able to approach you in any way. So many of his prayers, he describes that if one can count the number of grains of sand on the beach, still one will never be able to understand all the unlimited opulences which you manifest. And even Lord Anantashesha will not be able to describe for the lifetime of Lord Brahma all the opulences that you display. Lord Brahma in his prayers, again and again, are in reverence. He submits himself to the lotus feet of the Lord, praises the Lord in this way. And then at the end of his prayers, he says, now, can I please allow me to go back to my abode? I have my service to perform. And so that is Lord Brahma's reverential feelings described. I can't remember how I went off on that tangent, but it had something to do with the fact that Gopakumar was describing specifically, and Sanatana Goswami was describing in the purport exactly what it is Gopakumar needed to be conscious of so that he could recognize the Lord Narayan, both for the Srivasa on his chest, for the Kastupa Jan on his chest, those are the distinct features, because everyone, all the living entities which are represented by the Kastupa Jan, and of course the internal potency of the Lord Goddess Sri, who is always rendering service and has taken shelter of him in Srivasa, that is distinct. Of course, Goddess Sri, the Goddess of Fortune, she is none other than a manifestation, one of the manifestations. All the Goddesses of Fortune are simply the manifestations or expansions of Srimati Radharani. And so they all have taken complete shelter of him, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, that's what distinguishes him as somebody who's different than all the other residents of Vaikuntha, who apparently look the same, but they're not completely the same. So we'll end here, and we'll continue next time. Next verse is 62-63. On Monday, we will resume on those verses, and now we'll begin chanting some japa together. For those who have some japa to chant, I saved some rounds, a few, for our japa. Thank you very much. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaurava Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Before I end, there's something that came to my mind, and I wanted to, I didn't give the ending, an important ending for the whole description of the cowherd men. The Cowherd Men, yeah, I did say what the ending was, is they forgot about it. And what was most important to them was their internal, their relationship that they have with Krishna, paternal affection. But after Krishna showed them Brahman, showed them Vaikuntha, then he showed them Krishna Loka. And he showed Krishna Loka himself, them in Krishna Loka. And they got to see Krishna Loka as the supreme abode. And that's of course what he wanted them to understand, because obviously, you know, for one who enters Goloka, he frowns upon Brahman, frowns upon you know, Vaikuntha. For him, most important is his relationship with Krishna. But he showed them that, and it was only just very short, for a few moments, he showed them Krishna Loka. But it doesn't stick. It doesn't stick. And the example that's given, there's a nice analogy that's given, is just sometimes when one is completely in the darkness, then there may be lightning. And when the lightning comes, the lightning shows everything. But the lightning is very blinding. And then what happens, although when the lightning goes away and it's darkness, one can't see because he was temporarily blinded by the lightning. He can't even see the darkness. But then as his eyes recover, then he's in darkness. So the residents of Goloka Vrindavan, they're always in darkness. They never see Krishna as God. But for momentarily, they're blinded by lightning. Momentarily, they can't even see the darkness where vision is affected. But then it goes away, and same thing happens to the Cowherd Men. Then they said, "Can you show us? Can you show us? Can you see?" Someone said, "Can you show me Vaikuntha? Can anyone else show me Brahman?" And then Krishna showed them that, and then showed them Krishna Loka, and showed Krishna Loka in relationship to everyone else and all of them. And then what happened was they were covered again, and couldn't have been happier at being covered again. So that was one little detail I forgot to mention. Sometimes when I get going, I forget these little details to clarify these things, but it's a small detail. And I thought I should add that detail. So we'll end here. And we'll resume. I just spoke to Radhanath Maharaj a few days ago, and he was telling me how much he had been consumed by Zoom. Anyways, we'll resume on Monday. Monday, yes, I got it right, Monday. And we'll end here. And Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. I think I know how to unmute everybody. I think I do. Let's see if I do. Oh, no, everybody can unmute themselves. I think that's what it is. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram, Hare 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 Ram,